little bit behind in listening, so.
Right. But I think it's a separate sugya, so you don't have an issue. We're on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph. And we're towards the bottom. Let's see where we can find Itmar. I'll count up from the bottom. Should be about 10 lines up. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, Itmar. It's about 9 lines up from the bottom. Oh, you have a different suicide daf.
Yeah, so this one's actually very easy to find things, and here we go, found it.
Itmar. Oh, you got it? Okay, great.
I'm done.
So let's just take us up to date here. The kaveh, which is the liver, is full of dam.
Right.
So the Mishnah that we learned over here on Kuf Yud requires kriya. Kriya means to cut it. You have to cut it in two directions. You slice it before you cook it. And by slicing it, you can guarantee that all the dam goes out. And so the Gemara is going to make all sorts of comments on that.
I was up to the part, I forgot what it's called, the Kral.
I
had listened through that, and I was just up to where you were beginning to talk about. I think you're about to start talking about the liver, and so the idea of cutting it applies to the liver as well.
I mean, that's supposedly what we'll learn today. We really haven't established that yet. The Mishnah talks about cutting it in two cases. Two parts of the animal's body. One is the chal, because that's full of milk, so we got to get rid of that. And then there's the lev, the heart, which is actually full of dam.
I'm sorry. This was one thing that was unclear to me with the chal. Is that the udder? That's the bag under the big fat bag under
right.
The cow. And because I remember there was a part where it was talking about the chala shofet or the from the shachad, it's from the.
Oh, in other words, that he finds it after the shechita.
Right, after the shechita. That wasn't in the chal, that would be in the lower parts where
lower it was.
So that would be the actual the teats, I guess.
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to make sure I understood that. Okay.
So what do we have now? The Gemara is going to talk about, instead of cooking, roasting. Which means instead of bishul, we're talking about tzli. Now the advantage of tzli is that if, let's say, you roast the liver, the blood goes in a downward movement. As opposed to bishul, where when the blood comes out, it spreads and it's distributed throughout. So in a certain sense, we could say that it's a lot safer, it's a lot less of a problem in the case of tzli than it is in the case of bishul.
Right.
So that in bishul, what's going to happen is that if the kaveh is so saturated with dam, the dam is going to come out. And let's say you have other pieces of meat in that same pot that are cooking simultaneously, then the dam is going to be absorbed in those pieces of meat. So that's a very serious issue that the Gemara addressed earlier. However, if you take the liver and instead of cooking it together with other pieces of meat, you roast it, then the assumption would be that the blood goes down. And if it goes down, it's not going to impact on the other pieces of meat. So let's say, imagine if you had what's called in the Gemara's language a shipud. Shipud in English, I think, is called a spit.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you have a lot of different pieces of meat that are on this spit. When I was a child, we had a rotary one that used to go round and around. And if one of these pieces of meat is full of dam, let's say, for example, the case of a kaveh, then we don't have to worry about it impacting and infecting the other pieces of meat because they are vertically situated one next to the other. Mm-hmm. However, the Gemara now is going to talk about the following case. where he is roasting the liver together with meat, but the meat is located, is situated below the liver. In which case the dam, through the process of roasting, of tzli, goes down out of the liver, and it smacks, it hits up with the basar, with the meat that's underneath it.
Question. What if, I mean, when I think of roasting, you know, in olden times, you imagine the big, you know, animal on the spit going around. So what if you put the whole goat on the spit? And so you didn't remove the liver or the tchal.
That's a real problem. That might be a real problem, because that's the Gemara. It's interesting. The Gemara of Kanya, I actually have a colored picture of it in my particular Gemara. We did this the last time we learned Chulin. And what he does is he takes a major part of the animal and he cooks it so that there's a lave inside, there's a covet inside.
A whole bunch of things together.
So let's see the Gemara now inside. It says, Kavda ilove, which means that he's roasting the liver on top, and Bisra, and the Basar, is below it. Now, if I would have sort of asked you for your intuitive feeling or sense about this, if the covet is on top and it's full of dam, then through the roasting process, the dam is going to go right down into the basar. But yet the Gemara says shari. Shari means that's okay. There's going to be a long discussion here in the Achronim whether shari means even lechatchil it's okay, or shari means b'dieved if you did such a thing, but you shouldn't have done such a thing. Now what logical sense would it make that the dam, which is now flowing from the covet onto the meat, and yet the meat remains mutter? So the Gemara answers, Dama Mishrak Sharik. When dam comes in contact with basar, Mishrak Sharik means it sort of rolls off the surface level of the basar, and it goes down and down. It doesn't get absorbed by the meat. So the Gemara is operating now with a whole new principle, which again, you know, as I always tell you, it's either physics or it's some sort of legal conceptual halacha. It's probably a combination thereof. But the Gemara assumes that when dam rolls onto meat, it rolls off the meat. That's called mishrik sharik. It's not like a case where you cook dam or you have meat that's absorbed, soaking in dam, and it absorbs the dam. Here it's just dam that simply bounces off the top or rolls off the top of the meat. However, by contrast, kachala iloi bisra, what happens if you're roasting the kal, which as we said is full of cholov, it's full of milk, and although the kal has a status on a doraisa level that its milk is not osur, as we discussed on many occasions, but that's only as before porish, before it leaves the kal. Once it leaves the kal, then on a drabbanan level, we consider it as cholov. So now you have the kal on top, you're roasting it, and below that is basar. Do we assume mishrik sharik? Does milk have the same propensity as dam, and it just rolls off the top of the basar? Asur. So Gemara says, no. That's going to penetrate into the basar, and since the basar now is bolea, it absorbs milk, it becomes basar b'cholov. My timer. Why is this asur? And the Gemara answers, cholov seruche masrich, which literally translates as dovik. Dovik means it attaches itself into the meat, and as a result, the meat now absorbs the cholov. So we have two concepts that are mutually antithetical, shall we say. One is called mishrak sharik, and that applies to dam, and the other is seruche masrich, which applies to milk, to cholov. Now we're going to soon see that it's possible that the Gemara is going to come to the conclusion that everything we said has to be converted topsy-turvy, inside out. In other words, the Gemara might question these very fundamental assumptions and come to the conclusion that, on the contrary, that Dam is going to be Mishrik Sarich and Cholav is going to be Mishrik Sarich. But right now, we're going with this approach. So let me quote to you here this gigantic machlokas that I mentioned before as to whether or not this concept of Mishrik Sharik is l'chatchila, meaning you're allowed to do it and there are no holds barred, or is it only b'di'evet? He says the following, Kasav Amaram Shif, he lived about 2.5-3 centuries ago. Shekach mashmos apshuta behem sheikh agamara she mutter afil lechatchila. In other words, the word shari should be understood as giving us permission to do such a thing. That the dam that comes out of the kaved rolls off the top of the basar. And he quotes a Rashba who says, Ein bekach klum, as if to say there's no problem whatsoever. Then the Maram Shif goes a step further. And he says that what happens in a case where instead of putting the kaved on top, or the kachal on top, you put it on the bottom, underneath the basar. There also the Gemara uses the word shari, which we didn't get to yet. So it seems that the word shari would seem to indicate that it's mutter, because again, in the case where the kachal or the kaved is on the bottom, and he's doing roasting, tzli, then the dam of the cholov goes straight down, and there's no problem whatsoever. However, in the other side of the equation, we have the Tosus HaRosh. The Tosus HaRosh says, L'chatchila bevadai osur litzlos kaved me'al habosar. You're not allowed to roast kaved, which is saturated with dam, on top of the basar. And the Tosus HaRosh goes on and he says, V'ein cholek b'dobar. As if to say, no one questioned this. Everybody agreed. It was a dover poshut that it's also l'chatchila to do this. V'ahetesh enema b'gemara hu rak b'di'evet. So I'm just giving you the little bit of a tip of the iceberg here that we say in Yiddish tutzach velten, that there are worlds here that below the surface as to whether or not we're going to accept this gemara as l'chatchila. Let's go on. Rav Dimi Minardoi Masni Ibcha. He had a brisa that had it just the opposite flip side. Kachala iluye bisra. If the chal is on top of the meat, shari. My taima. Chalev shkuta derabanan. Once you find the milk after shkita, which is called Mesa. Mesa means that she's not Ruhuya Laholid. That whole enterprise of Cholav is only Drabanan. And therefore, on a Drabanan level, when you have Cholav Drabanan in the case of Chal, Ein Lahachmir, we're not going to be so Machmir, and we're going to say, well, maybe the Basar was Bolea the Cholav when the Basar was situated below the tchal at the time of tzliya. Avol, but in contrast, kavda, in the case of kaved, we're not dealing with drabanans here. Eloi bisra, if the kaved is on top of the meat at the time of the roasting, then the meat becomes asur. And why? Because dam d'oraisahu. In other words, whereas in Chal we could be Mekil, In Chaved, we have to be Machmir, because there's a fundamental difference between the two. Chal is, in the worst case scenario, an Isid Rabbanon, because we're talking about a Shkuta, whereas the Dam of a Chaved is also with a Raisa. Now, basically, according to this tradition, this transmission of Rav Dimi, we don't really know one way or the other as to whether or not the Basa on the bottom is being Bolea. We think that it might be Bolea. We don't know that it's Bolea. So it's a Safek. It's a Hashash. Shema Nivla B'toch HaBasa. So the meat is located below either the Chal, in the case of Cholov, or the Kovet in the case of Dam. And we're not sure, one way or the other, if the meat is actually Bolea, either the Dam or the Cholov. So what do we do in the case of Safek? So if Dimi says, it all depends. If it's a Doraisa, then Sofik Doraisa L'chumra. If it's a Sofik Drabana, Sofik Drabana L'kula. So what I want to do here is give you a little bit of a summary of this Tosfos Dam, which is the next to the last Tosfos on the Daf. And Tosfos quotes the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that Dam Kaved is mutter min haTorah. I don't know if you remember this. I don't know if Asher, you were here, but way back when, we had the Sheet of Rabbeinu Tam. Now, exactly why Rabbeinu Tam holds that Dam Kovid is Durabbanan and not Doraisa, we don't know. Because it's very strange. Paradoxically, the real problem of Kovid is Dam. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, the Kaved has a Dam which is not Dam. How he derives this, we don't know. Therefore, if you want to know whether Kaved generates an Isur on Chatichos Acheros, according to Rabbeinu Tam, that whole question is only Derabbanan. And yet, our Gemara says explicitly that Dam Kovid is an Issa Doraisa. There is no more glaring contradiction than that in the context of Rabbeinu Tam. And basically, Tosfos leaves this question unanswered. How could Rabbeinu Tam maintain that Dam Kovid is Drabbanon when the Gemara says explicitly that we have to treat this basar that may have picked up the dam from on top of the kovid on top as a safek d'oraisa? So the Prima Gadim, this is, you know, almost modern contemporary history. I mean, the Prima Gadim lived about 150 years ago. He wants to take a stab at it. He wants to try to reconcile our Gemara with Rabbeinu Tam, who holds that dam kovid is d'rabbanan. And he says the following: Kan midubar al dam shebisimponos hakoved. There are two parts to the kovid. In fact, I think I have a little bit of a picture of it. The only trouble is that this is a black and white diagram, so it's not absolutely clear. But this is a diagram, a picture of the kovid. And there are many different parts to the kovid. You know, you and I think a kovid is a pretty small, relatively small aver.
I don't know how many in a cow. Human has five parts. I don't know how many cow has.
Five parts. So he has here five parts. And one of them is called the simponos hakovid. And the simponos hakovid are those portals or openings where the dam goes in and the dam comes out. So it comes out that according to Rabbeinu Tam, the way the Prima Gadim understands it, that the Kovet itself is saturated with Dam, that Dam is the Rabbanon according to Rabbeinu Tam. But the Simponos, where the, let's say the arteries or the veins, you know, carry the Dam into the Kovet, the Dam in those arteries, which are called Simponos, is Doraisa. Again, we don't understand why this is Darman and why this is Daraisa. It's all...
That's Daraisa and the other's not?
Right, that only the Dam and the Simpotos is Daraisa. Now, in a case of Tzli, I'll be with you in just one split second, Eric. Since in the case of Tzli, we're not sure if the Dam from the Kaved goes into the Basar that's below it, we have to consider the possibility that the dam that's going into the basar below it is dam simponos. And dam simponos, even according to Rabbeinu Tam, is doraisa. Hence the Gemara says that according to Rav Dimi's tradition, we have to be machmir. Eric?
Oh, I was just thinking that it is maybe Rabbeinu Tam treats the liver in some ways like the chal, where it's, you know, when it's in there, it's not considered like part of the rest of the body, maybe because the liver processes the blood in some way, so therefore it's a...
I don't know. I can't tell you. I can only tell you what I know. I can't tell you what I don't know. So he says, L'chein yesh la'achmir shalo litzlos kaved al gavi basar, because of sofik d'oraisa, because maybe this is the dam of the simponos. Fine. Darash Meremar Hilchasa, how do we paskin la locha? Bein kavdo ubein kachala to say bisra shari iloy bisra dieved in lechatchila lo. So Meremar's final psak is the following. If you want to place the kaved or the kachal below the basar, and now you want to subject everything to tzli, then that's called tuse bisra. That's underneath the basar. Shari, that's not a problem. Because the dam coming out of the kaved, or the cholov coming out of the kachal, is in a downward motion. So it's not going to impact on the basar that's on top. However, in contrast, ilave bisra, if you place the kaved or the kachal on top of the basar, then l'chadchili, you certainly shouldn't do such a thing. And again, this is going to be the Tosa Rosh's proof that even though the Gemara says Mishrik Shorik, but nevertheless l'chadchili, we don't allow it. But b'di'evit in, if he does so, then b'di'evit it's mutter. Now this is really interesting, because in the two different transmissions that we had until now, there was always a contrast between Kovein and Chal. We didn't know in which direction. For example, in the first tradition, what we had was a kula in the case of kaved, because of the nature of dam, and a chumra in the case of cholav. In the second tradition of Rav Dimi, we had just the reverse, that we wanted to be more makil in cholav than in the case of dam. But we never equated the two. Whereas Maremar seems to equate the two. And in both cases, again, we're talking about where the kaved or the kachal is on top of the basar. In both cases, we're going to tell you, l'chadchila, avoid it, but b'di'eved, it's mutter. So where do we fit, or how do we fit Meremar into the framework of what we had before of Meremar? And this is the subject of the Tosas, the Mardechai, and many other Rishonim. So let me read to you one approach. Meremar is talking about a specific kind of kachal. In other words, Meremar agrees to the first approach that we had in the Itmar, that we have to be more careful about kachal because of the nature of cholav, that it's misrach sriche. But why does Meremar say that b'di'evet it's mutter? So the Tosus HaRosh and the Mardechai answer, because Karo li'achar shekaro shesi v'arev. Remember the Mishnah says that in the cases of Kal and Lev, what we have to do is we have to slice it both in this direction and that direction. That's exactly what he did before he roasted the Kal. We're not talking about a person who violated the law. The law requires that you do kriya shesi v'arev. Therefore, according to Meremar, he went ahead and he did sli on the kachal. after he did Kriya. That's fine. So, for example, if the Basar is on top and the Kchal is on the bottom, we don't have any problems whatsoever because he did to the Kchal exactly as he was meant to do. However, L'chadchila, if he wants to put the Kchal on top of the Basar, Tosus says that Mereimar prohibits it, L'chadchila. Even after he does the kriya shesi mi'arev, there's still some residue of milk that's going to fall onto the meat.
But when we were discussing kachal before, when it gave that prescription of what to do, it sounded like that was, you know, now you're looking
excellent.
To go do what you want to do.
So that's the second half of this paragraph. So Eric, you're asking the question of Tosus, the Mordechai, and others. And I'm going to give you the answer even without the question. All that we learned until now is about the Bishul. So if you want to cook the Kchal in its alone, or perhaps even with other pieces of Basar, then the Mishnah requires Shesi V'Arev, that you do the Kriya. However, our sugya here is not talking about bishul, but rather about tzliya. Tzliyas kchal me'al ha'basar asura. Now, what's the difference between bishul and tzli? On the contrary, normally the halacha is more flexible in the case of tzli. So here's the curveball. Mipnei sha'cholav nikar b'shoshu menatev v'hu be'en. He says that when the Rabbanan prohibited cholov of kchal, and that's all the Rabbanan because everybody agrees that kchal of the shchuta is mutar min haTorah, they did so when it's nikar. In other words, when the cholov is, excuse me, is extracted from the kchal and it forms an entity, it emerges as an entity unto itself, the Rabbanan said, that's also, we're going to consider it as cholov. We can now be more makil in the case of bishul, because in the case of bishul, we really never get a look at this chalav, right? We're talking about very small vestiges of chalav that's left after the kriya. And now that you cook it in a pot, where is that small volume of chalav? It's sort of lost. But in the case of tzli, what we see in front of our eyes is drops of chalav that now are menatev. He used the word menatev, meaning they're dropping down. And that's already nikar, that's already be'en, that's already a separate entity. And I think this is important because this really touches on a lot of the principles that we're learning in Yoredeya, you know, in Issa v'Heter and Taromes. The halach is always more machmir, more careful in the case of nikar ha'isur, when you could absolutely see it. I'll give you an example, only because we discussed this here at great length, and you can hear it on YU Torah if you like. We had a whole discussion about the Shitas HaRaivit. The Raivit Shita is that the great principle, the Chumrah of Chaticha Nasis Nevela, doesn't apply in the case of Lach Balach. So let's say, for example, you have a mixture of Yayin Stam with Yayin Nesach, which are two liquid substances. And let's say there's no bittul. The volume of Yayin Nesach, of Yayin Iser, is more than 1 to 60 of the Yayin Heter. Now, well, let's say part of this mixture that became Aser now falls into another mixture of Yayin Shel Heter. So the Ravid says that in this case, you don't need Shishim against the entire volume. You only need Shishim against the original volume of Yayin Nesach that fell into the first mixture. And we don't apply the principle of Chana. So the question is, why is the Ravid more Mekil in the case of Lach Balach than in the case of Lach B'Yavish, for example, where we require Shishim against the entire piece of meat? And the answer is, which we discussed at some length, is because Lach Balach is called Lo Nikar HaIsur. We cannot identify the Isur. Meaning, it's called Blila. Now, it's hard for me to translate that into English, Blila, but Blila means some sort of mixture in which everything is, In we used to say as children, mishkabal. It's all mishkabal together.
It's completely mixed.
Completely mixed, totally mixed. That's the unique nature of lach b'lach, as opposed to lach b'yavesh, where you see liquid going into solid, then you could identify the liquid as something separate from the solid, but not when you mix yayin b'yayin, for example. There are many other examples of lach b'lach. I'm just mentioning one. So I'm just trying to say that this concept, that sli, in the case of chal, is more strict than bishul, because in the case of tzli, you see the nituf, you know, whatever drips in front of your eyes, and therefore it's nikar. That seems to be a familiar concept throughout Yoredeh. That once something is nikar, it's very much lechumra. The halacha is going to be more machmir. I'll give you another example, which this is already child's play. This is already the basics, like the aleph base. What happens if a piece of nevela falls into 60 pieces of heter? If the nevela is nikara isur, then you can't apply bittul. You can only apply bittul if, let's say, for example, you remove the nevela, or alternatively, if you cannot identify the nevela. So again, the halacha becomes very, very strict in the case where I can identify something, like the cholav in the case of tzli of chal, or lach b'yavesh in the Ravitz frame of reference, and so forth and so on. Now he says the following. The final decision of Rabbi Meir, which we call the Hachras Hadin did I say Rabbi Meir? I meant to say Meremar. If I said Rabbi Meir, forget it. Meremar is a distinction between lechatchila and b'di'evet. So it means that when we saw earlier that you're allowed to roast kaved on top of basar, and remember the language was a kavda iluye basar shari, which sounded, according to the Rav Shif and others before him, that it was mutal chatchila, here you get a whole different impression, because in both cases of chal and kaved, Meremar is only willing to be matir b'di'evet. So that the word shari before is very, very iffy. And he writes that chal me'al basar is asur l'chatchila, and according to one version, right, which was the first version that I call it Itmar, because it doesn't have a name to it, there chal ilui bisra is asur. So the word asur now means even b'di'evet. You follow? You see, Meremar's distinction between l'chatchila and b'di'evet has an impact on the whole sugya now. It's like a ripple effect, because when we go back to the original Gemara, now the word shari in the case of kaved, where the kaved was on top, and that's based on Mishrik Sharik, that's only b'di'evet. Which means that when it says about chal, if the chal is on top and the milk is coming down, then that should be also even b'di'evet. Because the advantage of kaved is that kaved is mutter b'di'evet, post facto. But in the case of chal, it's going to be also even b'di'evet, according to that tradition. Then Rav Dimi comes along, that was the second tradition, and he was matir chal me'al gabi basar, but again, we can assume that that's only b'di'evet. And that makes a lot of sense, because if you remember, Rav Dimi was applying the principle of suffering to Rabbanan Lakula, because chalav of chal is only to Rabbanan, so that's only b'di'evet. In the case of kaved, the kaveh is on top, according to Rav Dimi, then it's also even b'di'evet. Correct? Because he's applying a principle of sofik d'oraisa, because the dam, you could call it the dam suponos, according to Rav Dimi, tam is d'oraisa. Now we get to the third level, and that's Meremar. Meremar pasak, lesor l'chatchila, ulahatir b'di'evet, bein b'kaveh, ubein b'kchal, me'al abosa. Uposak kishtei alishonos lahakel, because again Tosus is saying that according to the first lishna, we can be mekil only in the case of kavod, if the kavod is on top. According to the second mishnah, which is Rav Dimi, we could only be mekil in the case where the chal is on top. Comes along Rav Meremar, and he says we can be mekil in both cases, chal and kavod, but only b'di'evet.
If they're on top.
If again, only if it's on top.
But if they're below, then it's...
Then it seems like it's mutter even lechatchila.
Because the interest, I mean, just using the language of Shari, then it seems to have different meanings, whether it's a complete heter or whether it's just b'di'evet.
Generally speaking, the word shari, we're very comfortable to assume that's mutter even lechatchil. But here, because of Maremar's statement, Tosa says we have to go back to the drawing board and say that the word shari means only b'di'evet.
But in Maremar's case, it means lechatchila.
Well, no, it depends. If you're talking about kavda or chala to say bisra, then it means lechatchila shari.
Right.
But if you're talking luye bisra, then b'di'evet in lechatchila lo.
Right.
Okay, so let's go on a little bit. We don't have too much time. Rav Ashi Ikla Lebei Rabbi Bar Chama Chamua. So Rav Ashi was at the house of his father-in-law, Rabbi Bar Abba Chazye, and he saw Librei, the son of Rabbi Bar Chama, which would be his brother-in-law, right? Dika. And here we have to turn to the Afkuf Yud Aleph Omen Beis, because Shapid. Right, shapid is the verb of the noun shpud or shipud. Shipud is that spit. Because shapid, and he was roasting on a spit, kavda iluye bisra. Now again, I'm not exactly sure, but it sounds to me like he tilted it or made it somewhat vertical so that the dam that's coming out of the kavod now is dripping onto the basar that's below it. And it seems like... he didn't blink about it. In other words, this is the way they did it, without any reservations. Omar Saravashi says, "Kama yahir hai me rabbanon." The word yahir means conceit. You know, somebody who's, I don't know if you've ever heard the word yura. Yura means whenever we see someone who he promised sick, it's like he's higher, he's more holy than you are. So he says the following: this is not something that we can allow, because again, even though we were matir kaved that was roasted on top of basar, but that was only b'di'evet. Maremar already decided that you can't do that lechatchila. Amar d'yom rabbanon. When did the rabbanon say that kaved al gabi basar is mutter? That's only b'di'evet, but lechatchila asur. So this is really a chutzpah. How can you go a step further and say that somebody would allow you to do this lechatchila? Okay, now the Gemara goes on to explain the laws of tzlias kaved when you roast the kaved together with basar. And even though we said that you're allowed to do so, or at least b'di'evet, the Gemara says, nevertheless, e ika be dugi is bisra iloi kavda namiyasa. So there's one case where we're going to be very, very machmir. What's that? That's called be dugi. So I'm going to read to you the Hebrew translation of be dugi. He says, im yesh mitachas l'shipud kli ha'osui l'kabel es hashuman hanotef min habasar. Okay, now what we're talking about is basar me'al gabi kaved. Now what do we say about basar me'al gabi kaved? If the basar is on top, are you allowed to do the tzli?
The elephant.
No, even lechatchila. Again, the only issa if the kaved was on top, now the kaved is on the bottom.
Yes.
So we're talking about basar me'al gabi kaved. So the Gemara says that's not an absolute heter. It's not always mutter. Why? Because what they used to do is they put a receptacle under the shibud so that the fats and the liquids that would come out of the basar would be collected in this receptacle. That's called beidugi. Beidugi is a kli which is asui lekabel sashuman. It soaks. It sort of collects in this receptacle this shuman that's coming out of the basa. And therefore, in this case, even though the basa is on top, what's going to happen is that you want to eat, you want to, I don't know if you could use the word eat, because usually when we're talking about shuman fats that drip, it's more of a liquid, a gravy. Excellent.
It's a gravy.
So if you want to, again, if you pardon, you know, you'll give me permission to use the word eat. If you want to eat this gravy, you have a serious problem. Why? The reason why you put this beidugi is because you want to collect the gravy. I mean, gravy is gravy. You know, we need gravy, right? But what's going to happen is, since the kaved is now being roasted below the basar, then the dam that's coming out of the kaved is going to fall into the beidugi. And what you'll have now is a mixture of gravy with dam. And therefore, what he says is that you're not allowed to roast basar on top of the kaved, because again, what's going to happen is that the dam of the kaved is now going to drip into this receptacle, which is now receiving the shuman of the basar. So bisra iluya kavta nami asur. Even though the basar is on top, it's also.
So this would apply also to the chal, one would think.
That's an excellent point. I didn't even think of that. You're a major step ahead. Brilliant. So the Gemara says, Maishna, what do we care about the fact that the dam is dripping from the kaveh and it enters into the shuman in this beidugi, in this kli? Midama de bisra. Let's say the dam of the basra itself is coming out of the basra, right? In other words, why is he doing tzli on the basar? Right? Now today we do melicha, but back in the day, they took advantage of another option. There are two options in getting rid of dam and basar. One is melicha, and the other is what's called tzli. Now as a result of tzli, the dam comes down. So then forget about the fact that the dam is coming from the kaveh. What about the dam that's coming from the basar itself? You have kaveh on top, boss on the bottom, and you're worried about the gravy that's in the receptacle because the dam from the covet is coming down. What about the dam from the boss itself?
We're worried about the gravy. We're not worried about the covet.
Correct.
The
only the gravy. Okay. Our focus.
The way this is written, it kind of...
Right.
Okay.
So the Gemara says the following. Dama de bisra shachan, dama de kavda kope. Again, a few Aramaic words here. The dam that comes out of the meat is shachin. Shachin means it somehow gets absorbed in the walls of the kli, which is called the shulayim of the kli, and somehow it doesn't infiltrate or penetrate into the shuman itself. The shuman is collected on the bottom of the kli, and the dam of the basar is somehow shochein b'shuliakli. Shuliakli means the, let's say, the outer part of, or the top part of the kli. But dama de kavda, so Gemara is making some sort of material physics distinction between one blood and another blood, the dam of the basar as opposed to the dam of the kaveh, is kaveh. He says that dama kaveh is misarev bishuman. It actually mixes together what?
I have a svara there, but okay.
So I want to hear your svara. I just want to go over again the language here, because okay, it's very important that we get the language down. Again, doma de bisra shachan, doma de kavda kofe. The Gemara is making a distinction now between two types of dam, the dam of the basa and the dam of the kofe. Now, we try to interpret this difference according to Rashi. Let me present to you the Aruch. The Aruch was even before Rashi. And he quotes the Aruch. The Aruch says the following. Dam ha-bosar, darko lishkoa, v'lishkon b'shuri akli. So the Aruch learns that the words lishkon here, or shachan, means on the contrary, not the way I said it, that it's absorbed in the top part of the kli. He thinks that shachan means it goes all the way to the bottom of the kli. Vashuman, but the shuman that's coming out of the basar is tsof me'al gabav. So it's not the way we said it, that the dam is in the sides and the shuman is in the bottom. He's saying on the contrary, the dam goes down to the bottom, which is good news, because the shuman is tsof me'al gabav. The eno ma'urav bo klal. And again, you know, I'd love to do an experiment and see if this is so.
But that's why with Shemen Zayzach, because it comes to the top. To the top. There's a separation between the oil and the dam, because one is oil, has the properties of oil, or a fat has oil, and the water stays at the bottom. The oil rises to the top. So in general, that's going to be a separation.
So he's saying that the dam, but only again of basa, we'll soon see that dam of kovet.
So maybe
the dam of basa is going to go all the way down to the bottom. The shuman is on top.
As far as there may be some, I don't know if medically, but there may be some shuman within the dam kovet, and that's why it's murav. In other words,
So he says that dam of kovet is kofet. Kofet means tzaf, according to the Aruch. You know, the Aruch Spetz, his specialty was translating words. So he says that the word kafe means tzaf. Tzaf means it flows. Lamala. Umis arev bishuman. And now as a result of this beidugi, this kli, we have now a real taroves between the dam of the kafe and the shuman of the meat that's coming down. So it's really interesting because what we're worried about is this shuman that's coming from the basar into the kli, and at the same time the dam of kaved is coming into the kli. So as far as the dam of the basar, right, the basar's on the bottom, that's going into this kli. That was never an issue. So take, for example, if there was no kaved over here. Let's say you take a piece of meat and you roast it, and the shuman of that meat is now the fatty substance of that meat is now being collected as it drips down from the meat into this beidugi. At the same time, the dam of the basar is going into the beidugi. That's not a problem at all. The only problem in this case is because he put the kovet on top. But if it was pure basar, then there's no tyropus at all.
But there's not a problem because you're separating them afterwards. But the way we cook today, let's say you've got a roast in the oven, you know, mixing at the bottom. Is, in other words, because we salt the meat, or is there some reason why today we don't worry about this and separating things? And
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not up to that stage. You know, what you're really forcing me to do, Eric, which I should be doing if I have the time, is to open up the Shulchan Aruch and see, you know, what are the various nuances and what cases. But right now we're talking just about sleep, right? So what we have in front of us is basar. It's got dam in it. It's got shuman in it. And you're roasting it and collecting everything into a kli. And now you can separate between the shuman and the dam, but that's only because there's no kaved. If on the other hand you're roasting the kaved, then the dam from the kaved mixes together with the shuman and the kli, because the beidugi is collecting the shuman that's coming down from the basar, and now together with the shuman you have both safla mala, meaning both the shuman and the dam kaved, but the dam kaved goes all the way to the bottom and it never mixes with the with the shuma. Okay, Rabbi Sai, so let's call it a day, and